the show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. We are back again. More Bucket Strategy Investing. That's the name of the show, taking money advice to the highest level that we know how. Once again, it's our professor, Rick Plum. He's here with me. I'm Johnny Dean, standing by, ready to take your phone calls and your emails. We got plenty of lines open right now. Now, coming up for at least a segment or two, we're going to talk about the various distribution methods that you might consider once you've hit retirement. We touched on this a little bit yesterday with our buckets strategy discussion. How do you start taking money out of your retirement portfolio, right? Well, seems like an easy question to answer, doesn't it? You just start taking money out. But I think you know, in reality, if you employ the wrong distribution method, which means one that doesn't take into account your goals and your situation, etc., you could be headed for a lot of trouble. So, question is, what's the right way to do it? How much should you take out? You've heard 4%, you've heard 3%, some people have heard 5%. Way back in the long time ago, it was 6%. I've heard it as low as 1.9, according to Professor Plum. So, how much do you take out and how do you do it? So we're going to talk about that coming up here in just a bit with Professor Plum. Stand by for that. Our number here in studio, 877-PLANNER. The show is just getting underway. So right now we do have every line open for you. You can take advantage of the opportunity that you have at this moment to call the show and ask your money question. You can also send us your emails. It's wealthed.com, wealthed.com. You just click on the Find Your Answer link. You'll see it there near the top of the page, and we'll get it here in the studio. Professor Rick Plum has returned here with me once again. He's here courtesy of the folks at Lucia Capital Group. So if you want to get in touch with him off the air or any of the advisors there, you can reach them at this number, 800-644-1150. 800-644-1150. Talk to any of the advisors about your specific situation. And we appreciate the folks at Lucia Capital Group for sponsoring this hour of the program and bringing us said Professor Plum. So let's start with a couple of things. There are two things here, Professor Plum. We can talk a little bit about how much you should take out. And we should also talk about what strategy you should use. So I want to start with this whole idea that 4%.
Oh, we've all heard it.
We've all heard it. It started way back like 25 years ago, something like that, when a couple of, analysts.
Almost 30 years ago now, 1996, 1997.
Well, that's 20 years ago. But I thought it was like 1992, 93, but whatever it is. I mean, it's been around for a long time. The idea that in order to make your portfolio last, 30 years, I guess is what they said.
Well, they figure that 30 years is the long life expectancy for a 65-year-old taking out to 95. Now, you know, 85-ish, 84 is the normal life expectancy. Even a long life is 95. And it's becoming a little bit more frequent to live past 95, even into 100. It's still not a huge majority of the individuals.
Right. So if you have $500,000, you have $500,000, you can take $20,000 a year, they say, safely out of your portfolio. Now, before we get to...
And it would last for 30 years right. with an inflation adjustment every year.
Now, again...
Which may or may not be necessary.
Correct. We talked yesterday about this whole idea of sequence of returns and what happens early on when somebody took... This was a 5% distribution. But when you take money out of a portfolio that's going down, now that has, the problem there has to do with the type of withdrawal strategy, which we'll get into. But first of all, I want to ask you about this. 4% was it. You said, I think yesterday, 1.9% is what some folks are now advocating. What's wrong with, why does this 4% rule seem to be failing now?
Well, we want to have some kind of a guideline to be able to look at what our portfolio is and get a feel for, can we retire? So how do we take a look at the portfolio, not knowing what the future holds as far as good market, bad market over the next couple of years, not knowing what sequence of returns we're going to be retiring into? How do we take a look at our portfolio and say, I have $600,000. How much can I reasonably draw out of that portfolio every year and not have to worry about running out of money? And so over the last 40, 50 years, that number has changed. It used to be that the idea, the common thought process was 6%. You know, this is back in the 70s and the 80s, specifically the 80s. 6.5% was what they considered to be a reasonable distribution rate. In the 90s, they redid it and said, well, it's more like 4.5%, which they rounded down to the common idea of the 4% rule. But now, in the past 10 years, with interest rates where they are, some of the academics and very, very smart people are looking at it saying, the 4% rule, if you really want to not run out of money before you run out of time, you really shouldn't afford to take, you shouldn't take 4% a year out of your portfolio. It needs to be something lower. As John mentioned, the last one I saw was, you know, anywhere as low as 1.9% is what you want to limit your distribution to if you want to make sure that you have, at least based on historical returns, a 100% chance that you will not run out of money by the end of 30 years. Now, how do they come up with that? They're looking at historical returns. And that 1.9% seems pretty low, at least for most people. And on the other side of it, one of the biggest arguments to these new supposed rules of thumb of 2%, 2.8%, 3% are that in most situations, it's going to leave way more money for your heirs, which means you had to curtail your spending so that, you know, the beneficiary of that is your heirs. Now, some people have that as a main goal. Fine, that's you. But most people have the goal of, hey, I want to take care of me, my wife, while we're retired, and whatever's left goes to the kids. And if I only take 1.9, that means, as we mentioned yesterday, $1 million portfolio, you're limited to $19,000 a year distribution from that $1 million portfolio. That just seems artificially low. How did they come up with that number?
Yeah, how did they come up with that number?
Well, what they've done, and this is where a lot of people rely on these simulations and the computers to run these simulations. They have all this information. They take the actual return. Typically, they're using the S&P 500 or some other index. In the 4, 5, 6% distributions, the 2% distributions, they're using a blended portfolio, either a 50-50 stock bond mix. Usually, they're using an intermediate term bond portfolio, or and then an S&P type of a stock portfolio. Or they're using some balanced approach, 60-40, 50-50 stock bond mix. And they take the returns of that portfolio, or a portfolio like that, going all the way back to 1926, 1950, depending on how far back they go. And they look at it not as it happened. Now, sometimes they look at it as it happened.
You mean taking a sequence of years from 1950 straight through to 65?
They'll take the 30-year period of time, from 1950 to 1980, or 1979.
All the years in a row, in chronological order.
Or they will do what's known as a Monte Carlo simulation. And the Monte Carlos have gained a lot of popularity because they basically take the information on a year-to-year basis and they just say, let's make it random. Let's take the 30, let's just pull 30 random years out of the last 100 or last 90, whatever the number is, and throw them together and see what would happen if those random years of returns happened. So basically, it's like stringing potentially that went in where they were getting, you know, had to get down to that 1.9 to make it work. They were stringing a 2000, 2001, 2002 with a 2007, 2008 with a 72, 73. You know, they're looking at, you could string 10 or 15 bad years together where in history we've never had that happen, but with a Monte Carlo simulation it can happen because they're just taking random years. They're taking 1929, 1930, you know, with the 72, 73, with
right.
All, they're taking the worst and stringing them all together, and they're saying that's, we need to drop it down to 1.9% to protect against that. Okay, I'm not saying that can't happen, but it hasn't happened yet, and it'd be a very unlikely occurrence. And that's why they came up with this, you know, very, very low distribution rate. So should you limit your reductions, even using a balanced portfolio, to 1.9%? That's your call. Now, the other thing that they're doing is they're indexing it for inflation every year based on the CPI. And so they're going through and they're saying CPI was this. And so every year they're increasing the distribution from the portfolio. Hopefully the portfolio is growing and keeping up with that additional distribution. But obviously, if you have a string of bad years, not only should you not, if that's what the way your plan is set up, not only should you not increase it for inflation, they're purporting that you should actually decrease it to keep in line with the portfolio to allow it to recover a little bit. That puts a lot of strain on a retirement income. But the reality is, while people do have issues with inflation, especially in the earlier years of retirement, when they're younger, when they're doing more things, when they're going out and having, you know, more fun, maybe, if you want to call it that, they tend to slow down their spending habits when they get into their 80s and 90s. And the physical dollars being distributed out of their budget actually somewhat becomes static or even drops as they get into their 80s and 90s. And while inflation is important early on, it doesn't seem to be that even the additional cost of healthcare tends to be fairly static going forward. I mean, the cost of healthcare goes up and it counteracts the lower spending of the individual, so their overall spending is fairly flat.
So there are some issues with this, but the real issue for us is not necessarily 4%. I mean, 4% can work. It's the way you take money out of your portfolio, and that's the key right there. So we'll talk more about this. You got questions on anything at all, you call now, 877-PLANNER. We will take your phone calls, 877-PLA-NNER. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. Market Strategy Investing, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, a couple of lines open, in fact, four lines open, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. You got some money questions of any kind, you call right now and ask the Brain Trust, because we're here for you, ready to talk to you about strategy, money, anything involved. Could be Social Security, too. We haven't talked about that for a little while. If you have questions on that, you certainly can. And any money questions that you have that you don't want to call about, for whatever reason, you can get answered at the 2016 Retirement Income Strategies Workshops. There are still a few that we've got coming up. These are all presented, of course, by Lucia Capital Group. Now, the next one is, believe it or not, we are almost in April, April 9th. That'll be a week from Saturday, Houston, Texas. Join the Brain Trust in Houston, anywhere in the surrounding areas. In fact, the entire state of Texas. Just convene on Houston that day, Saturday, April 9th, and meet Professor Plum and Terry Keyes, who will be there as well, along with the local advisors. That's Saturday, April 9th, and April 30th, a few weeks away, Santa Clara, California. Just keep that in mind. It's about a month or so, but do join us there in Santa Clara. Those will be the next two. Now, as for May, we are still working on a couple of dates in May, so we will let you know if and when that does happen. But you can certainly check WealthEd.com, our website, WealthEd.com. Sign up there at the live events tab. It's all free. But the cool thing is you learn about retirement income strategies, like we talk about on this program, and any money questions that you have, whatever it is. Doesn't matter. Social Security, as I mentioned that before, insurance, retirement, annuities. Don't want to run out of money before you run out of time. You got rental properties, anything at all. They'll answer those questions for you right there, live at the workshop. Again, WealthEd.com. Okay, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Now, when we talk about this 4% guideline, which is what it is, we hate to call it a rule because it's just a stupid thing to call it a rule.
Well, it's not a rule.
It's not.
It doesn't work for everybody in every situation, so it can't be a rule.
So the problem is not necessarily the 4% part of it. It can be, Professor Plum, but the problem is really more how you're taking the money out of your portfolio.
Well, one of the problems with any distribution from a portfolio is something we talked about yesterday, the initial sequence of return. If your initial sequence is negative, it's very difficult to overcome that if you're withdrawing money from that declining environment. On the other side, if it's going up, anything works, right? If the market goes up at 10% a year, heck, anything will work. So how do you get away from not knowing what the future holds and not knowing how you're supposed to take money out of the portfolio? Well, the way to do it is, don't take money out of the portfolio that has volatility. Don't take money out of a declining balance. How do you avoid taking money out of a declining balance? Isolate enough money off to the side. Ooh, we can call it bucket number one for now. So that you have money on the side that didn't go down last night, didn't go down yesterday, didn't go down in January, didn't go down last year. And if I need to spend some money to make my bills, I have the money to make my bills. So the big argument is, how much money should we have in a safer, less volatile, or non-volatile environment?
Mm-hmm.
Took a question once at a seminar. Well, I like the idea of having some money off the side because I understand the markets do go down from time to time and we can't predict when that's going to happen. So what if I had 4 years worth of income on the sidelines? And in many respects, 4 years is a very good start.
You're talking guaranteed income.
Right. Let's say we were using the example of somebody who needed $25,000 a year to supplement their Social Security and pensions. They needed $25,000 a year from their portfolio. They had a $500,000 portfolio or so. So how much should they have on the side? He said, what if I have $100,000 in a CD and I just need $25,000 a year? That means I've got 4 years to recover, right? And that's true. You do have 4 years to recover. Have there been many times where the market has not recovered? Not just has it stopped going down, but has it recovered in that four-year period of time? Did it recover? If I started this in 2007, did it recover all the way back to where I was by 2011? We had a very nice recovery from March of 2009 through 2011, but it didn't reach the same spot that we were at 2007 yet. So 4 years is a very good start, but in many situations, it's not long enough. 2000 to 2002, did it recover by 2003, 2004? Not yet, no, that one was still down a little bit. So 4 years is not enough money. We like to look at what you need to have. Now, this is not going to be a dollar cost averaging. This is money that you've stopped saving into it. So you don't have any way to take advantage of that volatility. We're purely protecting against the volatility now. What about the lost decade? How long did it take for the market to recover?
Well, you mentioned that. I don't think people know what that is.
The lost decade was where we looked at the S&P at the beginning of 2000, the year 2000, and we looked at it again at the end of 2009, 10 years, a decade, and basically the S&P 500 was just barely back to where it was. It went down quite a bit in 2000, 2001, 2002, started to recover, and then we had a little bit of a correction in 2008, and then by the time 2010 came around, we were just back to where we started. The S&P 500 didn't go anywhere. No, it went down, but if you looked at point to point, it didn't really go anywhere over that 10-year period of time.
So if somebody only had 4 years at that point, what you're saying is that 4 years wasn't really long enough. Because you come back after 4 years and say, well, I've already spent my safe money down to zero. I got to start taking money out of my equity portfolio, and we haven't recovered.
We haven't recovered yet. And so 4 years is a good start, but we believe you need at least 10. We prefer a little bit longer time horizon. Now, that is based on your risk tolerance. Not everybody has the same needs. Not everybody has the same attitude towards their risk temperament. I've talked to some individuals who say 15 years is not enough. I want to make sure that I don't have to worry about what the stock market does for 20, 25 years. We know of, we haven't had a 25-year period of time where the stock market hasn't done a better than inflation rate of return, a nicely better than inflation rate of return. Worst case scenarios in the 7% to 8% range over 25 years.
All right, so here's
some people like protecting that long.
Okay, well, let's take it. You said 10, 15 is probably okay as well. But somebody who's is listening and they're watching and they're saying, wait a minute. You're telling me that I got to have 15 years worth of $25,000 a year, it's like sitting in CDs or money market funds, over the next 15 years, I mean, there's no way I'm going to be able to make any money off of that. I mean, this is what you're saying.
I am saying that. And but you don't have to be all in CDs. I mean, the money I don't need to spend for 10, 15 years, I can accept a little bit of volatility. Just not the entire volatility of the market. And I don't have to be in CDs or treasuries, because what's a treasury paying right now? A 10-year treasury is paying less than 2%. I think there are ways to do better. You can use fixed annuities that do better than 2% over a 5-year period of time. So I don't need to lock into a 10-year treasury to get better than 2%. I can ladder out different steps on the game here. I can start with the money I need to spend the next year. Yes, that's in cash, because there's nothing you can invest in that doesn't have some amount of risk, either from a liquidity standpoint or from a market standpoint, whether it's the bond market or the stock market, or it's illiquid to a point where there's a substantial penalty for early withdrawal. 1 year, cash. 2 years, maybe even cash. But once I get out, then I can start laddering out into different profiles to be able to get a better rate of return
than
nothing.
That's it. Exactly. So the first couple of years, yes, cash, something like that, that's liquid and guaranteed. Next few years, years 2 to 5, a little bit more risk. Years 5 to 10, et cetera. And that's why we talk about buckets.
because when we talk about bucket one, bucket two, that's what it's there for. Okay, more coming up. Taking more of your phone calls. I'm going to get to the calls next. And in Decatur, Georgia, you'll be next when we come back. Don't go away. 877-PLANNER. Still two lines open. Get them while you can. It's Bucket Strategy Investing. Back with you. 877-PLANNER. P-L-A-N-N-E-R. 877-752-6637. Yes?
I got an email the other day, and I forgot to tell you this, but they were saying, and thank John Dean for picking the bumper music. He's doing a great job.
There was a time when I did.
Yeah.
No. Well, Daniel and Andy and Adam occasionally. And if I'm missing anybody, I'm sorry. No, they're doing it now. And I'll agree. It's good stuff. Oh, I did that for a long time. Long, long time. And actually, they have said if I have any requests, they will play them for me. So, all right.
But that one wasn't one of them?
No, it wasn't. That's okay. All right, 877-PLANNER. Back to the phone lines. Let's get right to it. And thanks for hanging on in Decatur, Georgia. How can we help you today?
I have a question. I was wondering if your long-term care annuities that you discuss available on your show could be funded from simple or IRA accounts.
Now you're talking about the ones where we can use the account to pay for long-term care and the distribution
exactly.
would not be taxable.
The annuities, correct.
Right. Those have to be personal annuities. That's not going to happen out of an IRA or, well, a simple IRA after 2 years is basically an IRA anyway. So no, that doesn't happen with IRA accounts. The IRA rules still rule the world when it's an IRA.
Okay. Thank you so much.
So the personal annuities can be used. If I have an annuity that I, put together years ago and I've got a lot of appreciation in it, and if I were to take a distribution of that, appreciation interest, the deferred interest, I have to pay income taxes on it. But if I use one of the newer qualified annuities where I can get a long-term care, and it's actually underwritten for long-term care, the distribution for the long-term care payment, even though it's going to be coming from earnings, is a tax-free event. But that's only from personal annuities. They don't have that option from an IRA. An IRA is still an IRA. You can use an annuity within an IRA as the investment within an IRA, but the annuity rules don't exist inside of an IRA from a taxation standpoint. The annuity rules, they just don't work inside of an IRA. It's a tax-deferred account regardless of what kind of investment you have in it. So you have to go back to the rules for an IRA. Does an IRA allow for a tax-free distribution for long-term care? And the answer is no. So whether you use an annuity or anything else inside of an IRA, it's still a taxable distribution.
Yeah, does that help you out, Ann?
It does. I have one question that may help me clarify this. Mm-hmm. Could you take funds within an IRA, if you had considerable gains, could you sell those stocks and then take that money and buy an annuity within your IRA? Am I asking that correctly?
Yes, you can. But so let's say I over the years I've contributed X amount of dollars, doesn't really matter, but now I've got a lot of gains, I've done
right.
very well with my investments, and I sell right. all the investments in my IRA to cash, and I don't have to pay anything in taxes because it's all done inside my IRA. I can use those funds to buy an annuity, but that's not going to help me from a tax situation later on in time. At some point I am going to withdraw the money from my IRA, whether it's coming from cash, whether it's coming from the sale of a stock, whether it's coming from an annuity. When I withdraw money from the IRA, the money that comes out of the IRA is going to be taxable, regardless of the source, whether it's annuity, capital gains, interest, dividends, principal. Annuity
right.
or IRA distributions are taxable. And so, unfortunately, the underlying funding source is not does the taxation of the underlying funding source does not flow through to me if it's inside of an IRA. Long-term capital gains, not getting those when I take a distribution from an IRA. Step up in tax basis on stock, not happening inside of an IRA. So
all the activity can happen inside the IRA. That's not it. But as soon as it comes out of that IRA world, no matter what happened, it's
still
going to be taxable. Yeah.
Okay, but I'm sorry, I'm having trouble with
That's
it.
All right.
If in theory, just to say, if I have two investments, that are worth $100,000. Let's say $100,000.
Uh-huh.
And your annuity that you offer puts what $200,000 with that, correct?
Sorry, I have two investments worth
long-term. All right, if I take $100,000 in my IRA of gains,
right,
and then I purchase your long-term care annuity.
Well, it's okay. Where is the money coming from to purchase? I'm not allowed to buy that long-term care annuity inside my IRA.
Okay. I can't buy it there. I have to take the money out.
Right. You'd have to take it out. You'd pay taxes on it, correct?
And then buy the IRA. Okay.
And if I did buy it inside the IRA, I lose the tax-free treatment for the long-term care.
Yeah. And if you have any other questions, hang on. Yeah, it can be confusing. We should cover that at some point, too. Talk about what happens inside IRAs. I mean, any kind of activity can happen inside of an IRA. But the problem is it doesn't matter whether it's capital gains, whether it's ordinary income,
interest, dividends.
Right. Anything that emerges from that cover of the IRA is going to be doused with the ordinary income.
Taxability.
Exactly. It's just the way it is. Okay, let's move along to Julie in Kent, Washington. Hi, Julie.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure, what's up?
Well, I have a question. I haven't saved much for retirement, and what I'm going to have in 10 years is Social Security and pension. So I'm 10 years away, and then I was wondering what is it that I, what can I do at this point?
Well, you need to, if you want to have more than the pensions and Social Security, we have to find a way to create some net worth. We have to save. Or we have to get very lucky with the lottery, or get married to a rich person. I mean, but the real idea is probably saving. Now, do you work for the government or do you work for a private company?
I work for the state, and I'm going to be having around $6,000 a month.
That'd be nice. Now, the state also offers either a 457 retirement plan that you can, and so you could sign up and probably should sign up for that. And now you're single, Julie?
Yes, I am.
And how much money do you make right now?
$75,000.
So your income today is going to be similar to what it's going to be in retirement. Is that correct? I mean, you've got $75,000. So if they offer a Roth 401 or a Roth 457, you may want to try to use that. But the idea is to sign up for the 457. Have it done automatically. The best way that I have found for people to save for retirement is to not rely on themselves to do it, but to set it up on an automatic plan. And the 457, similar to the 401k, 403b, they work really well because you don't see the money. It automatically comes out before the check is issued to you, and you tend to just live on the rest of your check. So I would push you to sign up for that 457. Whether you want the tax deduction today and taxable income later, or no tax deduction today, but tax-free income later, that's up to you. It's kind of a six of one, half dozen of the other. You're going to be in similar tax brackets either way. But I would definitely sign up for that area.
Yeah, and put it in a Roth, you mean?
You might do a Roth. I mean, you could also do a Roth IRA. And in fact, even if you do the Roth 457 plan, I would start at least with $1,000, $2,000, or some amount of money, a Roth IRA within the next 5 years. I wouldn't wait 10 years to do my Roth IRA. I would start my Roth IRA this year, next year, the following year, and get my five-year Roth seasoning in place so that when I do retire and I roll money over from my Roth 457 into my Roth IRA, my Roth IRA still has 5 years and everything's a qualified distribution going forward. No taxes
fact,
from that point forward.
In fact, do it this year. Put $100 in or something.
Probably takes more like $1,000, but
or $1,000, whatever it is. Yeah, but you could do it right away.
Roth IRAs and 457s. Sign up for them. Fund them.
Right, and that's better than buying an annuity, right?
Well, we're talking about different accounts. I don't think an annuity is what you need right now. You have a 10-year time horizon. You don't need the guarantees of a fixed annuity. You don't need the guarantee of an index annuity, and you definitely do not need the lifetime income from what most annuity salespeople are trying to sell you, the lifetime incomes. Those cost money, and I don't care whether they say they don't cost or do cost, they cost money in the fact that you don't earn very much when there's no fee, but there almost always is a fee of some sort. You don't need that. Right. Don't buy that. You should be, for a 10-year time horizon on an ongoing funding source, you should use a growth mutual fund.
Okay. That sounds great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Julie. If you want some help, hang on, and we'll talk to you a little bit more about this and help you out. There are annuity salespeople out there who are saying, ah, I'm melting.
And they should.
The fact of the matter is, as good as annuities are for some people, in her case, it just it wouldn't work. First of all, right now, she's 55. I mean, to me, that's too young anyway.
No, it's not necessarily too young for somebody who really does need extra guaranteed income at 65. I don't have necessarily a problem with that.
Really? 55?
For somebody, 55 is the earlier part. 10 years out is the earliest part. But
all right,
she's just getting into the window. But she doesn't need, she's got $6,000 a month of pension.
And so
she doesn't
the whole
need
reason
more
for
guaranteed
that.
Income.
Nice pension. Okay, 877-PLANNER. Jim, you'll be next, South Florida. Get to your question and more when we come back on Bucket Strategy Investing. Taking your phone calls this segment, and there's another hour just ahead for many people, many cities, many radio stations and television stations across the country. Bucket Strategy Investing. Whatever gets you through the night. 877-PLANNER, our number. PLANNER. A lot of stuff to talk about. We haven't even finished all this stuff on retirement income investment strategies, which is perfectly fine. We're going to get to the calls first. As we continue along, Jim is up next in South Florida. Hi, Jim.
How you guys doing?
Doing great. What's up?
Okay. Part of the my question would be drawing income. I got a portion of my portfolio that's still a lot of cash, like a lot of people, you know, looking for fixed income. Easy. What choices? And I've got bond funds. And now I want to go more towards municipals. I've had some success there. The question I have is twofold. There's AAA rated municipals that look like, you know, I kind of did my research. There's like 10 great ones, let's say. I'm in the state of Florida, so it would probably make sense to find maybe one of them in Florida or two of them where I can go ahead and invest. I want to draw income in the next 3 years out of the portfolio and semi-retire earlier. I'm 56, so let's say I'm 59 when I want to do this.
Okay.
So the question is, would you go into the municipals, find, and some of the returns on the municipals I'm looking at have been 5% with income coming off of them. Do you get the income monthly? How do you do that? And so, and then just if you could elaborate a little bit on bond funds versus municipal bonds themselves, what you think are the best bets. I'd appreciate it.
Well, wait, don't hang up yet, Jim. You're 56.
No,
are you single or married?
Married.
And how large is your portfolio?
Right now, heading into the semi, it'll be target is 1.5, and I'm right short of it right now. So
okay, so let's call it $1.5 million. And how much of that $1.5 million is in your personal name, your wife's personal name, or how much of it is in tax-deferred accounts like IRAs, 401ks, and things like that?
60% in the IRA bucket, and then the difference, 40%, would be non-qualified.
Okay, now when you retire, are you going to have pensions, a lot of other incomes?
No, I heard your customer that called it fire, and I'll have had two income annuities, this bucket for income stream that can turn on at 15.5. So,
are those in your IRA or are those personal?
One's in the IRA and one is in IRA now. Yeah.
So I'm not sure I would use municipals at all. You're going to be in a very low income tax bracket. You've got the majority
of debt free as well, which helps the story because I shouldn't need to draw but maybe $50,000 the first year to get, you know, to get what I need.
Right, and I would withdraw that $50,000 primarily from your IRA, and the reason I would do that is because as a married individual, the first $20,000 is taxed at nothing, zero, nada, zilch, bada boom. I wouldn't want to give that up. The next, you know, almost $20,000 is taxed at a 10% bracket, and then a little bit will be taxed at the 15% bracket. I would much rather do that than pay for a municipal bond. Now, municipal bonds that are paying 5% right now are either very long-term maturities, or they are less, they're middle-term, but you have to pay more than the face amount to get them. So if right. I had a, if there was a $100,000 municipal paying 5% right now from a AAA company, rated municipality, I may have to pay $120,000 or more to get that $100,000 bond that's paying 5%. So what's my real rate of return to me? Well, it depends on how many years between now when it matures, and it will mature at $100,000. So what's my real rate of return? And can I create a similar rate of return from a taxable source with less risk, less interest rate risk, less time sensitivity, less credit risk, and things of that nature? Your municipals make sense if you have millions of dollars. Now, you have millions of dollars, but most of it's in an IRA. And so you're going to have to play some tax games on this. I would not use a municipal portfolio for you, given what you're telling me is going to happen in the future. I would look at doing some things different. In fact, when you retire and you need $50,000 and you've got $900,000 in IRAs, I might even use that 15% bracket between 60 and 66, 67, when I take my Social Security, I may use up my entire 15% bracket by using conversions and try to create as much Roth money between when you retire and when you get to your Social Security age, or when you start taking your Social Security down the line, so that when I start taking my Social Security and I turn those annuities on, one from my IRA, one from elsewhere, the rest of the money, the majority of the money is in my Roth account. And then no matter what I buy, it'll be tax-free. I don't have to limit myself to bonds that have risk if interest rates go up. I don't know if interest rates are going to go up anytime soon, but someday they're going to go up. So I would look at restructuring what you're trying to do basically completely.
Okay. But to help the asset allocation with the bonds, and you've got a lot of cash, is there certain, would you look at bond funds?
I might look at an indexed annuity, but not with a lifetime income rider. You've already got that, so you probably don't need more.
I got two annuities. One of them's a fixed return at 3% today at Ameriprise Financial.
Right, that's a decent one.
You know, and it was an option to take after 10 years, and I took it because I already doubled the annuity, and I figured, hey, market goes back, I have the 3%. I'll take it.
Okay. So from here, what we need to do is take a look at what you're trying to accomplish, what your taxes are projected to look like, and what you need, and take the assets that you already have that work for you. That 3% guaranteed account is a pretty good account for some of the money. And so let's take a look at that and build a strategy around what it is we're trying to accomplish. Sure, a bond fund, although I'm not a big, huge fan of bond funds right now, depending upon what we're dealing with, the ones that have the best rates of return have the most risk because of, that's what happens. And so I'm not sure I want to take a lot of risk with the bond portfolio because there's just not a lot of return potential. If I'm going to take risk, I want to get some return potential with it. So that I'll do with the stock market. So that's why an index annuity or a fixed annuity like what you're talking about or some of these structured products that we've talked about in the past may make sense. But the first thing, before we talk product, before you talk about investments, create the strategy so you know what you're trying to accomplish with each of the dollars in your portfolio, and then find the assets, the individual products that fit the characteristics of that dollar need.
Yeah, hey, Jim, I tell you, I have to take a break for the end of the hour. Hang on, and we can get you a little bit more information on this. So often, it starts off with, there are a bunch of products here, and you need these.
Well, he need them?
Well, but I mean, exactly. Do you need them? Well, we haven't even asked about your goals yet.
But they sound so cool.
But they do sound cool. So you just have to be careful of that. All right. Hang on, Jim. Great call. We just got to take a quick break. If you need the Brain Trust off the air, Professor Plummer, any of the advisors from Lucia Capital Group to talk about anything you hear or see on this program, 800-644-1150. That's the off-air number. Another hour is just ahead. Stick around for more Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities.
Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.